Thank you. That was beautiful. I'm happy to be up here with my brother this afternoon. I know it is his desire to serve the Lord and to serve us. And I know he'd appreciate your prayers and your kind attention. My brother Steve.
Coming from one who does not sing, how do they do that? That was gorgeous. I really appreciate it. One of my favorite songs. It's one that bailed me out. I probably told you this over in the Philippines when they require a first timer to sing a solo. I picked that because it was low enough I could sing it, and I could sing it really fast. But I do appreciate that. We received another great blessing this morning. When Vic said he was going to close with a song, I thought he was going to sing. And he did the words instead, but do appreciate that sermon that he delivered this morning. I'm happy to stand before you. I'm kind of excited about the gospel this afternoon, and I'm kind of excited about my Sunday school class and what we're studying, and it deals a little bit with that, I think. And happy to have this crowd, this afternoon crowd, because what I'm going to read is, I think, deals with a group much like this. I'm going to read exclusively from the Book of Mormon, something I don't usually do. And not too many verses. I'm going to read from Alma, the 17th chapter. Most of you know Alma. Well, you don't know Alma, but you know the books of Alma, the chapters of Alma. You know that 17th, 18th, the 19th, or maybe it's 16th. No, 17th, 18th, 19th. He's talking to his boys. And this 17th chapter, I'm going to start with the 43rd verse. And it's dealing with talking to a particular son. And I would like to equate this particular son to this afternoon group. And we know that they were all ministers. They were all believed. And we know that there were varying accounts given to Helaman and Shiblon and Corianton. But in particular, I want to deal with this to Helaman. I'm going to start with the 43rd. I'm going to read right through the 51st. Well, maybe I will. We'll see what happens here. And he says, "Oh, remember, remember, my son Helaman, how strict are the commandments of God." Now, I don't know. I mean, I know what I think of when I think of strict, and I think of my fifth grade teacher. That's what I think of when I think of strict. You remember Mrs. Bayless? Oh, yeah. And she was strict. She was the strictest teacher that I've ever had in my life, and wasn't a noise in that class in fifth grade, can you imagine? But I don't know that this is what he particularly means here. When he says strict, I think they're pointed. His commandments, there's no guess in the commandments of God. What you hear is exactly what he means. And I think that's what he's trying to portray here when he says they are strict. So when you hear these commandments, you don't have to guess what he means, what the Lord means when he gives you something. And he says, "And he saith, if ye will keep my commandments, ye shall prosper in the land. But if ye keep not the commandments, ye shall be cut off from his presence. And now remember, my son, that God has entrusted you with these things, which are sacred, which he have kept sacred, and also which he will keep and preserve for a wise purpose in him, that he may show forth his power unto future generations. And now behold, I tell you by the spirit of prophecy that if ye transgress the commandments of God, behold, these things which are sacred shall be taken away from you by the power of God. And ye shall be delivered up unto Satan, that he may sift you as chaff before the wind. But if ye keep the commandments of God and do with these things which are sacred according to that which the Lord doth command you, for you must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with them, behold, no power on earth or hell can take them from you. For God is powerful unto fulfilling all of his words. And he will fulfill all his promises which he shall make unto you. For he hath fulfilled his promises which he hath made unto their fathers. For he promised unto them that he would reserve these things for a wise purpose in him, that he might show forth his power unto future generations. And now behold, one purpose hath he fulfilled, even to the restoration of many thousands of the Lamanites to the knowledge of the truth. And he has shown forth his power in them, and he will also still show forth his power in them unto future generations. Therefore they shall be preserved. Therefore I command you, my son Helaman, that ye be diligent in fulfilling all my words, and that ye be diligent in keeping the commandments of God as they are written. Pretty straightforward instructions that Alma is giving to his son. Important words. A father to a son. He told him to keep the commandments of God. He told him exactly what was going to happen if he did keep them. He told him exactly what was going to happen if he didn't keep them. But he also told him something else. He was entrusted with something. A work, a duty, a responsibility. To keep and preserve something that he refers to as sacred. Something that was sacred. So what was that? I'm going to turn back. Page 437. I'm going to tell you, it's going to explain exactly what is so sacred. I'm going to start with the 29th verse. But behold, my son, this is not all. For ye had ought to know, as I do know, that inasmuch as ye keep the commandments of God, ye shall prosper in the land. And ye had ought to know also that inasmuch as ye will not keep the commandments of God, ye shall be cut off from his presence. Now this according to his word. Now, you know, that's an important word, verse. It's not the Lord that removes himself from us. We remove ourselves from the Lord. The Lord is here. He is around everywhere. And when we don't keep those commandments, when we don't do what is right, we are removing ourselves from his presence. Never, ever will the Lord remove himself from us. It's our choice. That's not what I wanted to bring to you, but it's just something that kind of stuck out in my mind. And now, my son Helaman, I command that ye take the records which have been entrusted with me, and I also command you that ye keep the record of this people according as I have done, upon the plates of Nephi, and keep all those things sacred which I have kept. He is telling you what is sacred. Even as I have kept them, for it is for a wise purpose that they are kept. And these plates of brass which contain these engravings, which have the records of the Holy Scriptures upon them, which have the genealogy of our fathers even from the beginning. And behold, it hath been prophesied by our fathers that they should be kept and handed down. This is important. This is important. That they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and to be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord until they shall go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they shall know the mysteries contained therein. And now behold, if they are kept, they must retain their brightness, yea, and they will retain their brightness, yea, and also shall all the plates which do contain that which is holy writ. Now ye may suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and small means in many instances doth confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes. And by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bring about the salvation of many souls. That which is sacred is what I'm reading from. It's the Book of Mormon. It's what we are hopefully learning to present in Sunday school class, how to present the Book of Mormon. And it's not, we know how it came about. We know how the Book of Mormon, I think, well, everyone in this group knows how the Book of Mormon came about and how it was preserved and how it miraculously it was translated. But that's not really what makes it sacred. All those things do not make the Book of Mormon sacred. What makes it sacred is what it contains. That's what Alma knew. And Alma was telling his son. His son, Helaman, knew it. I want to reread a few verses here. And they refer to a time. And I believe they refer to a group of people. I want to read verses 33 through 35, page 437. And behold, it hath been prophesied by our fathers that they should be kept and handed down from one generation to another, and to be kept and preserved by the hand of the Lord until they go forth unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that they shall know of the mysteries contained therein. Now behold, if they are kept, they must retain their brightness, yea, and they will retain their brightness, yea, also. And also all the plates which do contain that which is holy writ. Now you suppose that this is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and by small means in many instances doth confound the wise. He mentions going forth to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And he mentions a time. And I'm telling you right now, the time is now. I want you to believe that. I want you to not only believe that, I want you to know it within your heart that this is the time that was spoken of here by Alma to his son. I believe it. So why the Book of Mormon? Why did he choose the Book of Mormon? It's what we're discussing in Sunday school. It is perfect. You need to know and believe that what is written in the Book of Mormon is perfect. There's nothing been deleted. There's nothing been added to it. What it says is the truth. That's why it's the Book of Mormon. That's what makes it sacred. That's why now is so important. Yes, this is important. Yes, this group of people that I'm looking out upon now are to carry this sacred thing and what is contained therein to the world. I believe it. I believe that that's what I was called to do. I believe that that's what you have been called to do. There was a time in my life that that kind of responsibility frightened me. And it still kind of frightens me to a degree. There was a time when I would put off for the longest period of time, as long as I could, this kind of responsibility. I think that we could do that in this group that I'm looking out to. Put off what we're called to do. Put off this thing that is sacred. Put off the time. Do you believe or do you not believe that this is the time? I know it's the time. I know it's the time. I look out in this group, this small group, this group, wherever the Church of Christ is meeting, the afternoon groups that are meeting, the evening groups that are meeting, and I know that this is the group that is going to carry this out. And I don't think we can wait. I don't know. I know the Lord does not want us to wait. And you say, why me? You know, I said that. Why me? Who am I? Just like Moses, you know? Just look at me. I'm just a man. I'm just a woman. I'm not a minister. You know, I am. But those of you that are maybe out there, you know, are coming up with these excuses and saying, you know, I don't speak that well. I don't know it enough. Well, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I want to read 35 and 36 again to you. Now, you may suppose that it is foolishness in me, but behold, I say unto you that by small and simple things are great things brought to pass, and by small means in many instances does confound the wise. And the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bring about salvation of many souls. Yes, it is you. I consider myself a small means. I consider this group in the Church of Christ, wherever they're meeting, a small means. And by those means, is that which is sacred going to be brought forth to every kindred, tongue, and people? You can look and think of examples in your life. And you know it's true. You know it's true. That's the way the Lord always works, isn't it? Do we have a dynamic man that draws hundreds of thousands to him preaching from all over the world? No, we do not. No, we do not. But we have a group of believers, small. Small things, small people. My wife and I had a short discussion about Grandma this morning. And yet, those of us who knew Grandma well knew that she had her shortnesses, you know. She had some things that even she wished she could probably change. But her message was always there, wasn't it? And it was simple. And it was shown. And I look out at daughters. I look out at son-in-laws. And I look out at nephews and nieces and grandkids and everybody, okay? And she caused a great thing to happen. And she was she was just Grandma. But she caused it to happen. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't waiting like I do, maybe like you do, for later. She wasn't waiting for someone that was dynamic. She did it. And what happened? By very small means does the Lord confound the wise. By very small and seemingly to the world insignificant people, people's lives are changed forever. That's your calling. Now is the time. You are the person. I'm not going to say we are the people. You are the person. I lay a heavy burden, don't I? It's a heavy burden. It's not a burden. I lay a heavy calling. We were go back to discussions. We were discussing with the disciple men. I was going to say disciple boys, but they are the disciple men. Just how that works. Just exactly how it works and how simple it works and what is required and how it comes about. It will come about in our lives. How do you know? Okay, how do you know? How do you know what the Lord wants you to do? There you go. And I mean, he tells you how to tell. Read 47, read 47, 48 again. Tells you exactly how to do that. He said, but if you keep the commandments of God and do with these things which are sacred according to that which the Lord doth command, listen to this, for ye must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever ye must do with them. That's the way it's done. For the Lord is powerful unto fulfilling all his words, for he will fulfill all his promises which he shall make unto you. For he hath fulfilled his promises and he has made unto our Father all you do. You're not sure? You're not sure? You're not sure what I'm telling you is right for you? You don't, and I tell you what, the only reason you're not sure is because you don't want to be sure. Because it is right for you. And if you're not sure and you want to prove it, read that verse again. Read that verse again. You must appeal unto the Lord for all things whatsoever you must do with this book and what's contained therein. Ask the Lord. Don't ask me. Don't ask your apostles. Don't ask your pastor, your assistant pastor. For heaven's sakes, don't ask your wife. Okay? Ask the Lord. And he's going to tell you exactly, I am sure he is going to tell you exactly what I'm telling you. I want to inspire you. I want to be inspired. I want to be inspired by you and what you're doing. I want my life changed, and I want you to be inspired by me and what I'm doing with the truth that I've been given. With the truth, the undiluted, pure truth, that which is sacred, that which is sacred then and is still sacred. How are you going to do it? You got the examples. We have the examples. You know people. You know people that have done that in the church and without the church. You know that. We discussed that too. People that have received the truth and they use it. You know, I just mentioned my mother-in-law because she was a prime example to me. But you know, she just wasn't a prime example to her daughters and her son-in-laws and her relatives and people in the church. She was a prime example to... She didn't sit still, did she? Grandma never sat still. She was one of the busiest people I've ever known outside the church, doing exactly outside the church with people outside the church as she did in. She was not afraid to tell them the truth that she knew to be true, that she received out of the Book of Mormon. And she was not afraid to tell them when they were doing something wrong, was she? Never. And you know what was so marvelous and what was so great, and I don't want to put on a soapbox for my mother-in-law, because I know that we have Brother Sheldon, we have many people to look for. But they didn't, they never got offended. Because she was a small person delivering the truth, and they knew it. You and I, I'm not telling you can do the same. We need to do the same. Right now. This is the time, if you believe these words that I just read, that they were handed down from generation to generation to generation to come forth, to go out throughout the world to every kindred, tongue, and people. It seems like it's building and building and building, doesn't it, to a crescendo. We are in the middle of a crescendo. And we need somebody to smash the cymbals together, and that is you and me. Or he's going to find someone else to do it. And that's scriptural too. It's going to happen. The time is now. The truth is here. The sacred truth is in your hands and in your heart, and it needs to be on our mouths and in our actions. We can do this. We will do this. We will make a difference as the Lord would have us make a difference. Why? Because of his spirit that is in us. That's got to be what motivates it. And I have no doubt It's there within you, or you wouldn't be here this afternoon. If you didn't want to do it, if you didn't want to be prepared to do it, you wouldn't be here this afternoon. You would be home watching football or sleeping or something. But you want to do it. It's here. This is us. This is ours. This is something. And we don't have to have something special. The Book of Mormon is something special. It's only something special because the truth that lies within it. Paul didn't have it, did he? Paul didn't have the Book of Mormon. But he had the truth, didn't he? It was put there by that Spirit that I'm talking about. He knew. He knew the truth perfectly. Precisely. You have that same Spirit, plus you have this. You can do it. I want you to not be fearful. I don't want to be fearful anymore. I don't want you to be fearful anymore. I want you to be excited. There's nothing in this world more exciting than this. To be someone that is sent forward by the Lord and for the Lord. There is nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't do with the Lord. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to give you a challenge. I'm not going to give you a challenge. You know. You already know. You already know. All I'm asking you to do is prove it. Just like the word say, prove it, ask. You're going to receive it instantly. He's going to tell you, that's it. That's it. Present what is sacred. This is the time. You are the people. The Lord's waiting.